I think this holy hookup is ready to go. Well, good morning, beautiful people. It's good to be here on a warm, sunny Sunday morning. I want to tell you something. The folks have been really gracious and kind in telling me to get rid of the suit jacket. It's here this morning. Dave Mitchell is leading that pack. So I'm going to blame him and others for saying to get rid of that suit jacket. And but it's so good. It's so great to continue to get to know some of you by names. I am in no way offended not to know your name by name as yet, or for you to repeat your name to me. You would need to do that several times as I learn of you and you learn of me. Friends, you have the opportunity to read scripture along with myself and Sally this morning. And when you hear the words, now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this, you would have a chance to read that. It is in your bulletin as well as it will be on the screen. So let's listen to the word of God in Acts of the Apostles chapter 8. This is a passage in a part two sermon series that we read last week. And continuing to share from this text again. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, get up and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road. So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of the entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home, seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go over to this chariot and join it. So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, do you understand what you are reading? He replied, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this.
He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb himself before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, who, may I ask, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized? He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus. And as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. May these words be the word of God for you and for me and for all of God's people.
Amen.
Thanks be to God.
You know, friends, over the last couple of weeks, I have been using the opportunity to share my story in light of this story of Philip and the eunuch. It has given me the opportunity to expose and to reveal who I am as your pastor. And in many ways, you are doing that. And so this journey continues as we conclude from this Acts reading the story of the spiritual hunger of the Ethiopian eunuch. Let us pray together. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Philip heard a eunuch from Ethiopia reading aloud from the scriptures. Now that was a very common practice in antiquity, that whenever a person read, they read out loud. It's actually a good practice that I want to commend to you, that when next you're doing your devotions, to read the passages of scriptures out loud. You would find it to be quite intriguing if this is something you have not done, or if it's something you might find that experience a good one to do. And so I think this is a great scene for you to capture in this scripture reading, where Philip asks the man, "Do you understand what you're reading?" It's a great scene. Philip is walking down the desert road, not sure why the Lord has him out there. And as he walks down this road, the Holy Spirit tells him to go up to the chariot in which an African man was riding and to stay near it. He runs up along the chariot, hears the man reading out loud from the book of Isaiah, and asks breathlessly, "So what you're reading?" Now, try doing that the next time you run a 10K. Who exactly is this man in the chariot? And why was he reading from the prophet Isaiah? The scripture tells us that he was a eunuch from Ethiopia, an important official who was charged in who was in charge of the treasury in Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. Candace was actually a traditional title for the queen mother. And she was responsible for performing all the secular duties of the reigning king. This man was in charge of the money for the nation. Today, we would probably call him the secretary of the treasury in Ethiopia. The text also tells us that he had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was on his way back home. We've never been given the man's name, as Sally pointed out to the children. We don't know his name. We are forced to see him only as Philip did, by categories. He was a person of color. Being from Ethiopia, he's African. He was also a foreigner. He was a eunuch, a man who had been emasculated. For what reason, we're not told. Even though he was an important official, the guy had 3 strikes against him from the point of view of the cultural religious influences of that day. He was a person of color. He was a foreigner. He was emasculated. This man wasn't someone with whom Philip would naturally feel an affinity or an instant connection or be drawn to. And so when Philip asks the man, "Do you understand what you are reading?" The eunuch replied, "How can I unless someone explains it to me?" This passage that he was reading was from, as we have it today, the book of Isaiah in chapter 53, which speaks of the suffering servant. Now, why in the world do you think this eunuch would be so interested in this particular passage about someone who was humiliated who had no descendants. Some scholars point out that according to, as written in the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 23, that Hebrew law didn't allow a eunuch to enter holy places. Remember, this man had just come from the temple in Jerusalem. He went there to worship, but they wouldn't let him in. He traveled all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. But he was stuck outside, because he wasn't considered good enough to go into the temple. Imagine, my friends, coming here to this church on a Sunday morning and an usher stops you at the door and tells you that you aren't good enough to get inside. So you stand outside and ask the people as they leave, what was it like in there? Because you're dying for a word from God. That's how that man from Ethiopia felt. You remember, friends, he was reading out loud the scriptures. I suspect if you and I are honest, and if we realize just whose house we have wandered into this Sunday morning, to some degree, we would all wonder, what are we doing here? You see, none of us, my friends, are clean enough or good enough or whole enough to be here. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to offer some kind of negative feelings about who we are. I am not trying to be negative about it. We all fall short. Perhaps we look around in this sanctuary and we think to ourselves, well, she belongs here, but not me. I don't have a great family like they do over there. And I don't have anyone to love. I haven't for years. I'm not a eunuch. I'm in too deep. And I've made too many mistakes. If everyone knew the truth about me, they'd probably throw me out too. As Philip began to interpret Isaiah 53, this man from Africa found himself listening to the description, the prophet's description of Jesus Christ. Jesus was a man who was despised and rejected by people. He was wounded for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our sins. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Jesus himself also had no children. He had no descendants, just like this eunuch. But as our Messiah and Savior, he created a whole new family of faith with God as his divine parent. And we are all, friends, all invited to become the children of God. Amen? You know, there is Wesleyan theology written all over this, my dear friends. A theology of grace, of forgiveness, of sanctification, of justification, that we all children of God, adopted. What a scene. As Philip and the man from Ethiopia traveled along the road, they came to some water. And so the chariot was stopped, and Philip and the eunuch waded into the water. What a scene! The evangelist baptized this new believer. And when they came out, two people from different racial, cultural, religious backgrounds became brothers. And a little more hope entered the world. You know, when Bishop Mark Webb appointed me to this church as your pastor, a little more hope entered the world. And I have come among people who have embraced me, who have looked me in the eyes and say, "You are my pastor. You are my brother. You are my friend." A little more hope came into the world, my friends. I wish that more people had the spiritual hunger of this eunuch from Ethiopia. So I ask this morning, as I ask myself and I ask you, what are the lessons we can learn for our lives today from this divine encounter? There's several things I think this story teaches us as we think about our own discipleship in Christ. First, this story reminds us to be flexible in our schedule. God has unexpected blessings for us whenever we are open to God. Unexpected blessings. God's leading and God's blessed interruptions are always available to each of us. Like even for some of us who would like to sleep in on a Sunday morning, might actually find it to be a divine appointment with God, with that unexpected blessing to be here. I say to us friends, hold your days loosely and give the Holy Spirit some wiggle room as we make our plans for the future. Hold your plans loosely. This is the lesson we all can take a learning page. I know myself too well. I've got my list of things to do. I've got my calendar. I don't want to get thrown off my schedule. Look at this last week. Oh, I had my list of things to do. And then there is an unexpected visitor. Then there is a death in this family of this church. Hold your plans loosely, my friends. This passage reminds us that we need to slow down and take time to be more flexible. Is that a lesson for you? It sure is for me. Secondly, this story reminds us that we need to take the initiative in talking with people about our encounter with Jesus. That might be a tough one for some of us. Philip had to run beside the chariot and ask the eunuch a question. You know, many of us Christians hope that our lives will show our love for Jesus Christ. And that is true. And that is also great. But we say often that words aren't necessary to share with people the wonderful things that Christ is doing in our lives through our church and through our faith friends here. We keep waiting for our friends to bring up the subject about Jesus Christ, but rarely it happens in today's culture. No one really wants to talk about Jesus Christ. Often, we are the ones who need to take the initiative and break what I call the sound barrier. We need to take the lead. And friends, you know, it might be as simple as, I want a moment to tell you what's given me joy here at Christ Church. I want to take, give me a moment to tell you what wonderful things are happening here at Christ Church. Or it might be, I want to I'd like to invite you to games night. It might be as simple as that. That might be an entry point, or to the men's breakfast, or to the women's circle. I want to invite you to that. What about this? What about, imagine each of us could tell someone, I want to invite you, I want to tell you something about what's happening in the life of my church this week. And what about this? I want to invite your children or your child to Faith Express. I want to invite your children to Faith Express. You know, this week, and Sally pointed out in a beautiful way, G-Force, but look, friends, I had a blast. I'm having too much fun in this church. I had a blast. And Sally, I tell you, she and her team, they do a wonderful job. I had a blast with these kids. And I wonder what it would be like if each of us were to tell someone, I want to invite your child, your children, to Faith Express. You know, one of the things I encountered just yesterday, a person was going around this church with me and taking pictures of G-Force, saying, we're going to be doing this in 2 weeks, and my gosh, you guys have some ideas here we don't have. In this church, we need to do some more holy bragging, you know, about our church. Thirdly, this story portrays the value of one person coming alongside a seeker. Philip entered the eunuch's world, my friends. He entered his world. He got up into his chariot. He joined a man on his terms and on his turf. He joined him there. So as followers of Christ, if you and I want to connect relationally with people, we've got to meet people at their comfort zone. We can't wait for them to come to us here at the church. I could sit in my office all day long. You can come to this church and just hope that others would join you. We've got to meet people on their turf. We've got to learn how to go and come alongside people and meet them where they are in our attempt to share our joyful stories. Just a few years ago, and I mean a few years, I helped start a new faith community in Syracuse in a sports pub. In a sports pub. Some refer to it as a pub crawl with people who were outside the faith community. Theology on tap on Thursday evenings. You heard that? And it's still going strong for people who otherwise might not enter these doors. And they actually went to that sports bar to talk about theology and about life issues. One person even got baptized in the bar. I think Wesley would be proud of us. Now that's what I call incarnational and missional ministry. It's coming alongside people on their terms and on their turf. Fourthly, my friends, the story of Philip and the Ethiopian reminds me that I need to learn to ask good questions. All too often in our efforts to share the gospel, our stories of faith with people who might have limited knowledge about the church and about Christ, we do most of the talking and try to cram too much information at them. And so, my friends, we need to learn to listen. We need to become better at asking good questions. And finally, this story reminds me that I need to push past my prejudice. To push past my prejudice and extend a hand of friendship to people who are different from me and who are different from you. To push past our prejudice. Philip was of a Jewish background. The Ethiopians are Africans. They didn't have much in common, and God brought them together in the family of God. You know, my friends, in this post-Ferguson world in which we live, and a more recent racially motivated horrific act in Charleston, South Carolina, at one of our churches in our Wesleyan family, we're coming to see how that racial tension is still a big problem in this country. And we've got a lot of work to do to break down the walls that divide us, to break it down. And it begins with me. And it begins with you. And so in the coming months and years, as you continue to date me and I continue to date you, it is my profound hope that our church will be involved with the many others in this community, even more than we do now, the wider Buffalo area, to try and address these kinds of problems in a constructive and meaningful way. You see, friends, we might be scattered, but we are not shattered. Black people, white people, Hispanic, Latino people, Native Americans, all peoples of this area must not be silenced into inaction. You know, we've talked about a lot of things that happened this weekend, and I was at the ball game last night. All the fireworks and all the Star Wars, what a great time. And I just observed for a moment, people of all walks of life, all backgrounds, were in this one place. We're scattered, but we're not shattered, friends. We as a church need to take the lead in demonstrating that there is hope for all people, regardless of who they are. So here is the summary. Look at the example of Philip and this Ethiopian eunuch. As we seek to share our faith stories with other people, be flexible with our schedule. Be willing to take the initiative. Be incarnational in our witness. Be effective in our questions that we ask. God wants to use each of us to plant seeds of faith in others, just like God did with Philip. Two different people from different racial backgrounds, different faiths, different cultures were traveling in different directions. But God had a new idea. He brought them together for a divine encounter, and the world would never be the same again. When the Ethiopian eunuch returned home, he started a family. Oh, not a biological family, but a spiritual one. You see, from this first convert, the Christian church in Ethiopia grew and grew until in the 4th century, Christianity became the official religion of that nation. And Ethiopia was the largest and longest standing continuously Christian nation in the history of the world until 1974 with the fall of Emperor Haile Selassie. My dear friends, if we believe in divine encounters, then there are no ordinary conversations, I assure you. There are no ordinary people, and there are no ordinary days. We may be talking to a co-worker or a classmate or an old schoolmate or a stranger in the grocery store. Maybe we take a wrong turn and get off schedule, and you run into someone unexpectedly. All of a sudden, God's presence fills the moment. And I say to us, put away our cell phones for a moment. Lay down our to-do list for a minute. Focus on the person right in front of us and get ready for a divine encounter. God has something wonderful in store for both you and me. Amen. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God of all the nations and all the people, we join our hearts and our hands, knowing without you and without one another, we are nothing. Take who we are and let your love come through to break down the barriers of injustice, of hatred, and unite us in Christ for all the world to know of your love and of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.